Welcome everyone back to Teacher Tweaks and Tips. I am Simona Watts Lacoste, and today I want to talk to you about blended classroom instruction. I know that blended classroom instruction is not a new concept. However, given our present crisis that our society is in the midst of, I feel that it is something that needs to be revisited. It's something that needs to be viewed in a different manner. My system, like several systems in the United States, have gone back to school with face-to-face instruction. Like many of those systems, our students, our faculty, staff, administration, we all basically thought that we were going to be in school for a short amount of time, 10 days tops. And we actually went into it with the mindset that when we are shut down again, when students have to go home again, that we had to have a plan in place that would allow that transition to be as fluid as possible. So many of us, and when I say us, I'm talking about different systems across the nation, we're encouraged to have something in place, preferably something like a Google Classroom that you can operate from, that you could have a digital aspect with the preparation in place of, okay, you're going home and we can continue doing what we were doing. Ironically, even though our COVID numbers are continuing to increase, and the area that I live in, we actually were considered to be a hot spot in Georgia. And since we've lost that, thankfully, our hot spot status has diminished so that we're not considered to be a hot spot, but our numbers are continuing to increase. Despite that, we are still in face-to-face instruction. And many teachers have opted to continue with that route of this digital approach. And it's not necessarily just using Google Classroom, but using a platform like E2020 or Edgenuity as the mode of instruction. So you have to be able to blend these two aspects together, your face-to-face with your digital, because you may very well have students that are at home with a COVID excuse, COVID-related absence, and those students are required to continue with their instruction, or you've got to give them their instruction. So the digital aspect is there so that they can continue with the lesson and not lose any standards or fall behind. The sad thing is that we have teachers who have been utilizing just the digital platform solely, even in face-to-face instruction. So the blended classroom concept, as I was saying previously, needs to be seen in a way that it's true blended instruction. You still have your face-to-face, but from time to time, you will have your students do things that do not require you in a digital format. So, what I propose is that using a platform like Google Classroom to push everything through. I'm talking every quiz, every daily assignment, every major assessment, if it's written responses, essays, discussion, Socratic seminar, whatever it is that you are doing in your class, use the platform like Google Classroom to push everything out. That will allow for a digital component in a pre-existing face-to-face, which will free you up as the teacher to continue doing those things that you would normally naturally do. You would, of course, have your opening. You would have your work session, your closing. In your work session, you would still continue to have students do the things that they need to do independent of you, and you still continue with having those conversations with students, having those one-on-ones, those small group instructions, so that you can ensure that your students' needs are being met. Blended instruction, to me, is probably, and I'll say, not probably, most definitely, I will not go back to the way that I taught before. Yes, I had a standards-based classroom. From top to bottom, it was standards-based. But the digital part of it, the, quote, blendedness of having technology merged with face-to-face, it wasn't so much so that. Now, given the circumstance of having to come back to school after being home for so long and teaching remotely, distance learning opportunities that I provided to my students, I took that concept of the distance learning and I merged it with my face-to-face. Because let's face it, we are face-to-face with most of our students. Some of us have all of our students. Therefore, it does not make any sense to use just a digital instruction delivery when you have your students sitting right there in front of you. It is boring to them, and it is boring to you as the teacher, or it should be, to sit there while they're sitting on their computer doing the activities that you have assigned to them in that format without any face-to-face instruction. Most of these platforms, most of these programs like Edgenuity, and I'm not knocking Edgenuity because Edgenuity has its place. It is great for providing instruction if that's your model. If that is your sole model, it's perfect for that. But for face-to-face, having a student sit there on this program and not have any real interaction with you, the teacher, and you're in the room with them, is not an effective way to ensure that your students' needs are being met. And this is how I presented it to my faculty and staff when I actually had to do a training on how I utilize blended classroom model in my class. I told them that these digital things that you use, that we have at our disposal, they should be viewed like you would view your textbook, as a resource. They supplement you, the teacher, not you supplementing it. It supplements you. It fills in providing extra practice, unit recovery, enrichment activities to what you are already presenting to your students. Not the other way around. Welcome again to Teacher Tweaks and Tips. This is Simona Watts Lacoste, and this episode is about finding ways to maintain our own mental and emotional well-being. It's about finding ways during this time of uncertainty, of just weird, different from our regular norm, to find our own calm in all of this that's going on around us. As educators, we are faced with a tremendous amount of stress. Stress in all forms, coming from every direction, it seems. It can range from anything as simple as trying to make it so that you are at your duty station on time, or turning your lesson plans in with all of the specified components there, making sure that you have a standards-based classroom, to dealing with parents and children who, for some reason, have forgotten to turn in their work, or maybe they're not performing at the level that they should be performing at. There's just a range of stressors, and that's just the stressors of teaching. You take into account your personal life. All of that adds to your stress as an educator. But the times that we're living in now, which is beyond unprecedented, is adding a separate set of very unique stressors. For example, many of us have gone back to school. Schools are open, either virtually or in person. If it's virtually, then we're faced with the task of creating lessons and instruction in a virtual format. Not having spent any physical time with our students, not having met our parents, that ability to create that special relationship when you're face-to-face in person, it's hard. It's hard to recreate in a virtual format. So that's a stressor. Having to create instruction that is going to meet of your individual students in all of their individual settings, wherever they are. Then you have those of us who are involved in face-to-face instruction. Then there's the task of trying to keep them socially distant from each other, trying to teach through a face mask, which has its own set of challenges, because if you, depending on your style, if you're one who does a lot of walking around and you talk a lot, it's very taxing to try and project through a face mask. There's the challenge of conveying tone and meaning and trying to create a relationship. Even though you're face to face, it's hard when you cannot see the other person's face. I'll say this, for me, it was an extreme challenge just to learn the names of my students, because in my classroom, you are required to wear a face mask. And for several weeks, I had not seen many of my students' faces. I only saw from their eyes or maybe their nose up. I didn't really know what they looked like. And me being a visual person, a visual learner, that's how I'm able to learn students' names. And it was stressful. It was disappointing to not be able to do what I was accustomed to doing in the past, which is learning a child's name almost immediately. Within a few days, I know all of my students' names and their faces and know something about them. But given what the set of cards that we're dealt with, and having face-to-face instruction and wearing face masks and having to keep our distance, it's been really, really challenging. So all of those things, it's very stressful. So it's very important that we do the things that we need to do to keep ourselves sane, to keep ourselves grounded. I myself decided when we first shut down that I was going to start a garden. And gardening for me has been my outlet. It has been my thing to do when I don't want to think about or focus on all of the insanity, so to speak, that's going on around me. And I continued it. I continued to garden throughout the summer, into the fall, even after school started. Now, I've had a garden before. I've done it before. And typically when school begins in August, I kind of have to leave it alone, because my focus turns from having the extra time of working there to needing to be all in at school when I'm at school. So after school, there was not a lot of extra time to go and piddle around in the garden. Because as a mother of two, especially with my son at the time, who was a senior in high school, with all of his different activities, it was very important for me to be where I needed to be his mom. So gardening is not something that I would do during a regular time, but these are not regular times. So I continue to garden because I decided that I needed to continue doing something or to do something just for me, that is all me, that I can do for me to keep me in a position where I'm grounded. And that's what this podcast is about. It's about encouraging you to do that. It may not be gardening. It could be reading. It could be taking a walk or going for a run. It may be, and believe it or not, there are people who do this. It may be working on a car, you know, getting under the hood, doing something with your hands. It may not even be anything like that. It may be drawing, journaling. I mean, there are all kinds of ways that you can journal. You can journal in a visual format. You can draw it out. You can do an audio, do a video. Whatever you feel that is something that you can take comfort in, that you can relax and just release and let go of those stressors that come at us in every possible direction every single day. You've got to find a way to take care of you, because when you do that, you will have this sense of peace, this calm. Even with this podcast that I'm doing, this podcast is something that I started a couple of years ago. In some kind of way, I allowed all of the stressors of my life, of being an educator, being a parent, being a single parent, and being the only child of my elderly mom, I allowed all of those responsibilities, all of those tasks that are associated with all of my roles in my life to get in the way of me doing something that I felt was important to do, that I took comfort in doing. So even this podcast, I resurrected it a few weeks ago, and it too is giving me a sense of peace and calm, because it's something that I didn't know was gnawing at me that I wanted to do and I was not doing. But now that I'm doing it, that is just something that's off my plate and I can relax and go forth with the rest of my day. Now, granted, whatever this thing is that you decide to do, be it a hobby, an activity, whatever it is that you can feel this mental calmness, this emotional release, whatever this thing is, I encourage you to do it. Go ahead and do it. It may be something that no one could possibly think that you would be doing, like with me. I don't look like someone who is digging around in the dirt and waiting on seedlings to come up and enjoying the sound of the water as it splashes on the leaves of my newly sprouted vegetables. I don't look like that person, but that's the thing. It's not for anybody else. It's not for anyone but for me. So I encourage you to find something that you can find your calm and take care of your mental and emotional well-being.